Okay, I've been dying to show you guys this. All week, Devin got this app that can make songs out of lyrics. It can make like full music. It's like AI music. It's called AI music.
You give it lyrics and it gives you a sound?
Yes, you can pick the genre and everything and it gives you the song. It has been the most fun week of work ever. There were so many times I wanted to just send these to you guys. But Devin sent me this one night because he made this for us. Listen to this. Listen to how good it is. Okay, this is embarrassing.
Tech guy.
It's on iTunes?
No, it's just an audio file.
Oh. Can't believe I said that.
Three mics lit up, vibes heavy at the table. Parker pulling cords, keep the combo unstable. Devin got the giggles, punch lines on his tongue. Christian in the cut, wisdom slung like a drum. Hit the throttle, gas boys rev it like ships with full bottles, speeding through the nonsense, truth in their lane, swerving past the drama, immune to the pain. Yo, ain't no cap, they raw to the core, gas boys cooking, they forever explore, story so wild, make a crowd erupt, once you tune in, you ain't cutting them up. Mic drop moments, Parker sets the pace. Gavin cracking jokes, tears fall on your face. Christian stays scheming, wisdom in his tone. Together they king, sitting high on the throne. Gas boys talking,
oh my gosh.
Late night laughs, yeah, they got it all. Parker giving Christian tales they deploy. Fueling the world with the gas boys' joy.
Ooh. That's your bar, kind of.
Oh my gosh.
Fueling the world with the gas
so
boys'
joy. So basically... can use ChatGPT to make lyrics or just write them yourself.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how much of this was him or ChatGPT, but then you put that into the AI thing.
Wow.
But you can give it like specific, like say this about this person, say this about.
You're very wise. It mentions your wisdom twice.
I know. Literally so wise, they don't even realize.
And then, it's been so much fun. We've just been making songs. I've made a couple. I made one that I'm really proud of.
Oh, all right. You wrote the lyrics?
I wrote like...
the chorus?
Some of them. Well, one of them, yeah, I wrote the chorus too. I'll play that one later. But this next one, I pretty much like painted a whole picture for ChatGPT and how to make the lyrics for it. I gave it a few like alterations and then...
and you said cut it up.
Remember the conversation that we had like a year ago or more?
Yeah.
Where I was like adamant, like AI is never going to be able to create music.
It's exactly what I was thinking.
It's too subjective. It's too artistic. No robot will ever be able to. And then here we go.
Thinking if we showed that you this stuff, literally mind would be blown.
My mind would be blown to bits, bro.
I think I just wrote this song...
man,
just
I've
about
been
my
holding
feelings.
This in way too long.
It's beautiful.
Trying to play it cool, but it feels so wrong.
It sounds just like the other chat.
Every time you smile,
yeah.
Every time you speak, I swear my knees get kinda weak. I don't know if you've ever looked at me that way, but I can't keep pretending. No more delay. I wanna tell you, wanna make it clear. So listen close, let me whisper it here. I'm hopelessly gay for you, like dreaming about kissing you out of the blue.
Just up late right now
he's
these
like,
lyrics.
Mariah's asleep next to him. He's like leaning over the keyboard.
I want it all. Hopelessly gay for you. What are you writing, babe? Nothing. Don't worry about it.
just your looks though. Oh my gosh, what the flip?
Did you write these lyrics?
Now he's taking it back. I didn't write that. I didn't write that much of it.
I described a lot of this stuff to it and had it like...
In my personal experience, you cannot write something like this without feeling it a little bit truthfully in your heart.
That's true.
You've listened to this too much, bro.
That's the melody's so good, bro. It's like R&B kind of. The guy's voice is so good. It's voice, sorry. Wait, what? Don't wake me from this.
I'm hopelessly gay. That's so terrible.
Can you write in like musical aspects? Like, can you do like electric guitar
solo?
No,
you can't get that specific.
Oh, that'd be crazy.
The very end of it is hilarious.
Ooh, little bridge here. If this is one side, it'll take it in stride. But I had to be honest, I couldn't just hide. But if there's a chance, if you feel it too, then tell me, babe, what do we do? Ooh, either way, man, you're still my guy. No matter what, we'll be tight till we die. We'll be tight till we die.
Wait, what?
We'll be tight till we die.
Still my guy. It's crazy.
Yeah, bro.
Oh my gosh. When you guys do the stream, you gotta play this kind of music in the background.
Oh my gosh, dude. That is unreal. I cannot believe that.
What do you want to hear next?
I'm gonna spend so much time making these, dude.
Oh, it was.
Did you get a Star Wars one about Anakin and the dark side?
No.
Oh, Bryson sent one to me today.
Oh my gosh.
He said him and Devin.
I cannot believe that.
What do you want to hear next? Enjoy.
That was such a good song. The bridge was so good.
Dang.
Like the melody was so good. And that guy's, that thing's voice.
That computer's voice.
Beautiful voice. How does it make that, bro? I cannot believe
this. It stole somebody's voice.
This is mind blowing.
The song about Ranger? Or do you want to hear my.
Why don't we make one? Can we just make one?
I mean, we can, but we have to pay for the thing. I've just been writing lyrics. I'll send them to Evan, and then he sends them back to
audio file. How much is it?
It's like $4 a week. It's not a lot.
That's not a lot of a week.
No.
That's
I knew less you'd than be these dang Red Bulls. This. Yep.
That's like two of these Red Bulls. That's less than two of these Red Bulls.
Oh my gosh.
So what was your personal favorite?
The Ranger one, though, it had like 30 seconds of like electric guitar solo. It was awesome.
Yeah, how do we... I wish Let's you could that. Go in there and be like...
Is it like hardcore?
Do you want to hear the Ranger one?
Yeah.
Is this... I hope it's entertaining for everybody.
Whatever.
There's a little ball of fluff tearing
up the place. Like zooming through the music. Halls like he's winning a race.
But when the water's guys, running, this man, is like
he's
deep.
Right on cue.
Milk to take a
shower, he's jumping into.
What you know
he's
about
got no fear, room. Just splashing away. Dripping with paws like it's all okay.
It's because he always he gets in the same
he's
pause.
Got his own way. Living that wild life every single day.
So I prompted this one with my cat Ranger, like plays in the sink and gets in the shower, and then he poops every night at 9 o'clock. And 9 p.m. sharp, there's a storm you'll believe, drops a bomb so foul, clears the whole. This one cussed a couple of times.
What the heck? He's got no shame, just living his way. Causing pure chaos every single day. From the faucet to the litter, he's got that flair. Ranger don't care, Ranger don't care. Ranger's on the prowl. Playing in the sink, got the water running wild. Jumping in the shower like he's one of a kind. But when 9 o'clock hits, man, we all lose our minds. Little paws, big attitude. Cause it's trouble, but he's still so cute. Terror at night, angel by day, but we wouldn't have it any other way. So if you hear a splash, better check real quick. And when nine rolls around, better light that wick.
Ranger is the king, yeah, he runs this place. A stinky little legend with the QR face.
QR?
It said Q.
Yeah.
So I just changed that before I sent it. But then this is just like goes for like 30 seconds.
Oh my gosh, literally just cooking.
What can you put a link to?
This is crazy.
It's all these songs in the bio for the podcast. I can't believe
this, bro. This app is going to be massive. What's this called?
AI Music.
Can you download it on your phone?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I might have to get it.
Oh my gosh.
When Devin was first showing me, he was just like, he had lyrics that he wrote, like worship songs that he wrote, and was playing those. And it sounded
Suna?
It sounded so good.
Suna?
I don't know.
There's the Show most me. Popular one is Suna with 46K.
What's the name of the app? Suna, no, S-U-N-A. It's literally like just AI Music is the title of the app. Yes.
That's crazy. This one has 1,000 reviews. Not very much at all. There's also one with 25,000, one with 6,000. There's a ton of like big ones, and then there's
that the other one's
1.4.
It was so cool for like actual songwriting because he was Devin had some worship song lyrics he actually wrote himself, but able to put them to different genres and different styles or like different melodies that he wouldn't have thought of, and then can actually go and record that himself later.
Yeah, I don't know, bro. I don't know if I'm a fan of that.
Of what?
Just in, not that, like just in general for the music industry.
Oh well, yeah, we're.
I mean, it's already.
But no, what I'm saying is like that song that you made. The what was the one? The gay one? No, the gay one. That was like unironically a great song, and anyone could just hear that and be like, "Oh, an original song I just thought of. Listen to it." And you wouldn't have to change it. You could have it make the lyrics. You could have it make the music. You would just have to record it, and then it's your song, and you made that, and it took no talent at all. You have nothing to say.
It
and
now gives you whenever.
I'm sure Devin they can
puts the song in and he makes it. He sends him the license to it.
I'm sure that there's
so nobody can steal it.
They'll like scan song lyrics and stuff. They'll have something,
but probably AI to say sound like a certain artist or anything like that. But it's only like you pick the genres. But I was like, yeah, what are?
But
you
what's just have it to learning have good lyrics,
and you can make a million songs like this. But I don't think you can. There's not like. I don't know. Can AI innovate with music like people do?
No, that's
but
true.
I don't know. Maybe in a year you're going to look back and like, I was just an idiot. I don't think AI could learn.
Yeah, that's what happened this time.
Just another stupid thing.
Another stupid thing is dead.
What's the genre? I like the R&B type one that it did.
Yeah, that one was like,
what would that be
sometimes
called?
Do a Kanye style.
Give it jazz. It kind of does like that. I'm pretty sure the prompt for that was jazz.
Talking about my love for Red Bull.
I think you have to just put in lyrics to that. But if you can make the lyrics on ChatGPT and then you copy paste the lyrics in there.
Nope.
Or can that make lyrics too?
I think this can make lyrics too. It says your groove is on its way. It's strumming up something special. Yes. You can add in different instruments and stuff on this one too. This one has 50,000 downloads.
Wait, what's that one called?
It's or not downloads, reviews. I don't know. It might suck. So I don't know. It's sucks. Called. Duna or Dunna or
Dunna?
Dunzo.
I'm Dunna make a
it's
song.
Called Suno.
All right, we're Dunzo.
S-U-N-O. Nope, we're Dunzo.
Like, yeah, that's the other
all right, song's ready.
We're Dunzo. Have you seen that?
No.
It's like one of the cringiest moments
this
on the internet.
This is Kanye type. This is like Dude Perfect.
Yeah.
It's kind of gay.
I think I didn't understand.
I tried
writing
cool.
a Red Bull song, but I feel like the more specific I get with ChatGPT and the lyrics I want it to do, the less it's able to enact my vision.
Mm. I need a song about...
It's not quite perfect. So the more vague you get, I think the better.
What is
it
jumping into a painting and
no,
Gavin, that's
come on,
that's
it has to be clues. Insane. A song about the Gas Boys or a song about
Dude, but that gas was almost sick.
Yeah, that one was.
I was thinking of putting that as a new outro song.
Oh, yeah.
What should the.
What should it be about?
What should the genre be?
Country usually sounds good because most country songs don't sound very good. And so when it's AI, it's like, I think a human could have wrote this.
All right. I just said the Gas Boys podcast. I don't know if it actually knows about the Gas Boys podcast.
It does.
Yeah, it does.
I didn't choose any specific instruments. I can choose like instruments and like.
Oh, interesting.
I'll just let it ride.
Turn on the dial, let it ride.
Hey now.
Voices in sync like a perfect time.
Perfect time.
Chasing laughs in the late night glow. The Gas Boys running the show. Gas it up, take the vibe so high.
They love vibes.
Yeah.
Reminds me of like Forrest Frank.
Yeah.
His,
Let the fun begin.
Take the vibe so high. That's such a. What kind of line is that? Thanks. Give me something sick.
Do you guys like Forrest Frank?
Yeah.
Depends. I like him too. I saw him in concert with Surfaces and I've liked him, but it's like. I feel like he puts out stuff that's so. Like simple, I don't know.
Yeah,
where it's just kind of like you seem pretty talented musically. You could probably do better.
Who's that?
Forrest Frank.
Oh, is he, yeah.
You saw him.
Just shallow stuff he's putting out.
Yeah,
it's really
I think he could
see.
Do better.
Very talented.
Oh, I want to see. I want to be there when you show these to Nate.
I wrote one for him.
Nasty Nate.
Yeah.
Nasty Nate song.
Ooh.
Oh.
Let me tell you about a guy. Yeah, he's one of a kind. Got the hustle, got the muscle, always on the grind. In the car game, man, he's second to none. Flipping football rookies while he's having some fun. Ooh. Call him Nasty. Yeah, he runs the show. Got the heat in his hands. Prices rise, never low. Fat and sassy. But don't be fooled. He'll outdeal anyone, that's the number one rule. Oh, Nasty Nate's in town. Stacking up the slabs, never backing down. Man Cave Sports, yeah, that's the spot. Buying, selling, making deals so hot.
Oh, that's good, I like that.
From Mahomes to Brady, he knows them all. Flipping big hits, man, he's having a ball. If you see him at a show, better bring your best. Cause Nate's out here putting rookies to the test. Call him Nasty, yeah, he runs the show. Got the heat in his hands, prices rise, never low. Fat and sassy, but don't be fooled. He'll outdeal anyone, that's the number one rule. Oh, Nasty Nate's in town. Stacking up the slabs, never backing down. Man Cave Sports, yeah, that's the spot. Buying, selling, making deals so hot.
That could be the intro to his.
Yeah. Yes,
welcome
bro.
Back, everybody.
I want to play this for him at the church on the loudspeakers.
Yeah.
Be like, Nate, you got to meet us here.
We're just going to like listen to music. Like, oh, listen to this sick one I found.
If you need a good deal, better call Nate today. So next time
you should create a song for my wedding.
Yes.
Then we play it at some point during what you
expect. Fat, sassy. But don't be, it's all true. But when it comes to the game, man, he'll outplay you. Nasty Nate. Yeah.
We do gotta make one for their wedding.
Yeah.
Just about like, I'll tell you the, like what we should put some
at
lyrics
the very
in
beginning.
There. Yeah, but like to get everybody hype on the dance floor, just be like something about celebrating their wedding and just, oh, bro, I'm already. Yeah. That'd be good.
Bro, it's so funny.
That's crazy, bro.
If you just listen to the beginning and if you thought I wrote those lyrics,
oh, yeah.
It'd sound like I was just glazing in, but it's so funny. Oh, he's got the hustle. He's got the muscle. He never stops.
Yeah.
Nasty Nate.
Oh. It never said that.
Never said that once.
No, Parker's fiending for him, bro.
I wrote that one at 2 a.m. I miss him so much.
He's got
the
muscle.
Oh, man. What a crazy technology, bro.
It's so funny. What is it, like the prompt I had for that? What did I think? Write a song about my friend Nate. We call him Nasty Nate. He's fat and sassy. I also said he's funny, too, but it didn't put that in there at all. He's fat and sassy and. He has a...
Something about sports cards?
Yeah. He owns or he runs Man Cave Sports Cards.
That's so funny.
And I said he mainly deals in football cards. Boom.
Boom.
Boom. Like that.
And it thought of all the Mahomes to Brady.
Yeah.
That's pretty like good. The slabs?
The lingo? The vocabulary. Dang, yeah, it's crazy.
It's lingoed up, too.
It knows.
I think that app's better than the one that I downloaded, frankly.
Yeah, it's been wonderful.
That's wonderful.
I tried to make one about Red Bull. I tried to make one about like addicted to Red Bull and ripping wax, and that's all I want to do every day. My wife left me and my kids won't speak to me. I have no more friends because I just rip wax and drink Red Bull all day. The more specific I got and the more of a vision I had in my head, the worse it got at creating.
Because it was trying to be too specific?
Because it was just not, because I had such a vast vision of what I wanted and I couldn't do it. So I think when you're writing those and you'd use ChatGPT, you just gotta be like super
vague. I
mean, give like three main points.
Yeah, and just let
it'll
do the work.
Go through. If it says like it'll put in some random words that don't make sense. So just say like remove this word and switch it with this. And then
I see, okay.
That's good.
Oh, ChatGPT wrote the lyrics.
Yes.
Okay. That's fine then. Okay. Yeah.
So when ChatGPT copy and paste into the app.
Right.
And then I go click, 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 and boom.
So as of right now, there's not one app that can do both of it really well.
The app that I had, but it wasn't seemed like it was really well.
Yeah.
AI app that thinks I'm not gay.
Yeah, I bet your ChatGPT, like all your
I asked
questions.
It today, I was like, what do you know about me? And it said a bunch of stuff, and I was like, forget everything that you know about me.
Should I see what it knows about me?
Oh, yeah.
What did you
it
say?
It probably has a major... I use ChatGPT like 20
Bull
times a day.
Being homosexual and... It's all right.
I've been using ChatGPT a lot. Before I go to bed, I'm asking it, okay, if I fall asleep in 10 minutes from whatever, it's like at 10:40 and I need to be up by 7 a.m., what time should I wake up to properly for the REM cycle?
Oh.
I ask it that every night for the last 3 nights.
Has it been working?
Yeah.
That's cool.
It could also be the...
Placebo?
Yeah.
Wow, ChatGPT was right. I feel so good waking up at this time.
No, I don't feel yeah, really
this
good.
This is crazy.
I feel better though.
Does it know stuff about you?
This is crazy.
This guy loves learning about how music works and sound waves.
Ready?
He's so
You're
smart.
20 years old and live in East Texas. I'm cooked, dude.
Rick.
You can tell to forget everything.
You work in insurance sales, but you're struggling with motivation and purpose in that job.
Oh my gosh.
You pour out your feelings in chat.
You recently started a sports card business on Whatnot, auctioning packs live and leveraging your uncle's supplier connections as you grow. You're planning to promote it on Instagram and TikTok. You're passionate about ancient history, the Bible, Jesus, music, art with deeper meaning, and adventure. You dream of solo traveling on a motorcycle, taking long road trips, and exploring. You love fishing, playing drums, and golf, and you want to go on more outdoor adventures like camping, fishing, and hiking. You're working on expanding your vocabulary by reading. You're currently into Ravi Zacharias' work and Hemingway's books, appreciating their depth and writing style.
You left out the part where your deep desire to kiss me and Gavin. I saw that in your eyes.
I just skipped over it, I guess.
How does it know?
You have secret you gay talk feelings for your
you I talk a kind of about that, but never explicitly like that's the, what I'm talking about.
Did you ever talk to it about the motorcycle trip?
Because it'll say...
Well, I just planned it. I just had... when I was shopping for motorcycles, so every time I saw one, I would send it and be like, is this a good deal? Is this motorcycle reliable? Like, is this one
smart?
You know, like,
I haven't told it that much about me personally, so I wonder what it knows.
Yeah, probably not much.
That's a lot about you.
Yeah, I'm cooked.
It could kill you.
I could just say delete everything, but then it's not. Since it knows me so well, it's so useful now to all the answers that I need. Yeah.
It yeah.
Well, that's kind of freaky.
Yeah, I tried to make a song about my nephew, and it like told me, I was like, "Can you have an adorable nephew named?" And I was like, "Forget all of that right now. Don't you dare.
You might want to bleep that out. It would be a shame
if something happened to him.
Wait a second.
For the podcast.
Oh, really?
Just so AI doesn't have it from there, too.
Don't tell me how to edit my podcast. But I will. Because it will do a thing every once in a while when you tell it something. It'll say, like, what's it say?
Added to memory
or something like that.
I'm a little worried that, ChatGPT is going
to... Yeah, sometimes you'll say it. It's like, it'll ask, what did you just save to memory? And it was like, the fact that you are this. And I was like, and sometimes I'll be like, it's something that's not useful, so make delete it.
Oh, yeah.
Or like memory. It'll just say memory added.
Forget that.
Yeah. And I'll say, what was the memory you added? And it says this. And I say, forget that. And then it forgets it.
So
but there's a way more in-depth database of all the things that I've said to forget. That when I ask, like, what do you know about me? It says what I haven't told them not to remember. But then you know there's one that's just like the rest of the iceberg with all the stuff that I told it to forget that now Jeff Bezos knows about me. I hate that Jeff Bezos kind of fell off. GBT. Yeah, he's kind of fallen behind the scenes. He's in good shape now, and he does podcasts.
Really?
Yeah, kind of like Mark Zuckerberg. They're all starting to become sigmas human. Or whatever. Like Mark Zuckerberg looks like
he's got cool hair now.
Jack Harlow.
Wears cool clothes. Yeah, he looks like Jack Harlow.
Does jujitsu. Goes on Joe Rogan.
You were talking about Joe Rogan about archery
to be able to defend himself like that.
A lot of people hate him. Yeah, he does archery,
but then he
claims
to. Yeah, it looks like he got debunked by Joe.
Maybe he was just getting into it, but still don't say like, yeah, I love archery, man. And then don't pretend.
Yeah, then
you just say,
what kind of bow do you use? Oh,
regular.
Regular.
Standard bow. It's one of my friends. He gave it to me. I have like five.
He said that?
No. Which at that point, does he really have the time to go and look on Amazon of what bow? Or is he just like
I don't know.
Give me the best bow that you could ever have.
Yeah.
To somebody that knows bow and they just get it for him.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I'm a little bit worried that ChatGPT, knowing my sleep cycle, is going to use it against me somehow.
How would it use your sleep cycle against you?
Somehow somebody's going to find out.
Everyone's asleep at 2 a.m.
Yeah, dude.
If you had to plan something while you were sleeping, you could do it, even if I didn't know your sleep cycle. Unless you were a freak and you were up at 2 a.m. every night.
Yeah, freak.
Like nasty.
Like nasty, yeah.
If that doesn't really make sense. Who's your favorite of all those big billionaires?
Who's your favorite of all the freaks?
I don't know. Freak?
I think Mark, growing on me.
What about Elon?
The Zuck. Yeah, but he's just kind of there. He's on our side now.
Mark, give me the Zuck. what does that mean?
If you could explain that to me later, I'd love to know what that means. But
the way he says to Mark, give me the Zuck.
Who says that?
Mark Zuckerberg says that because someone in the chat.
He's like streaming it live on Facebook and he's reading the chat and he's like reading it.
He's like,
Mark,
I'm sorry.
Give me the Zuck. I'm sorry. What is all this? Give me the Zuck. Z-U-C-C. What does that mean?
If you could explain that to me, I'd love to be able to make that happen.
Yeah. I'd love to be able to do that. Oh, we should pull up that clip. Mark, give me the Zuck. I just love how he says it.
Oh, my God.
If you explain to me how I can do that for you, I'd love to be able to. Oh, that's hilarious. Mark, give me this.
Kenneth, Mark, give me the Zuck. But you can follow up and tell me what that means, and I'll try my best to do it for you. What's the whole Zuck thing? Z-U-C-C. I haven't seen this before.
Oh my God,
Kenneth. Mark, give me the Zuck.
If you can follow up with that, let's see what I can do.
What is all this, guys, what is all this give me the Zuck? Z-U-C-C.
I don't even know what it means. It's just funny.
I don't either.
Yeah, you know, who knows?
Mark, give me the Zuck.
That's so funny. He seems like a better guy now. He's also
I don't know if he's a better guy now.
He's less
or
of a
if
robot.
He just understands what will make people like him more and started doing it.
Well, worked on me.
Yeah.
Is he like What has he done?
He's just a, like, you know, he just looks better. Looks more, less ugly.
He looks more human.
Mm. Yeah, he looks kind of like a robot and kind of behaved like a robot as well. But I think what humanized him was when he had to go in front of the panel of all those old people. When Facebook was in trouble, he was being cross-examined or whatever by all the olds.
What?
And they were like, does Facebook...
target old people? Or
no, they're like, does Facebook access your home Wi-Fi system? And he's like, well, yeah, I guess. Because they're investigating like privacy.
Oh.
Like there are claims that he was like...
invasion of privacy.
Invading people's privacy through Facebook, which is kind of true. But then the Congress people that were all like 70, like have no idea how any of this worked.
So when
they
I
were
make
like
a tweet
trying to like ask questions about Facebook. Him. And he was like, I mean, I guess... Like, that was one of them.
Because, yeah, your Wi-Fi connects to your phone and your
device.
Like,
I guess I'm not understanding the question.
Tic-tac-toe. A winner.
A winner.
To make TikTok better. Oh, she's gone. That's nice.
Yeah, that's crazy. I was...
The old Twitter guy, I didn't really like him. He kind of freaked me out.
It was the old Twitter guy?
I don't know. Long beard and a nose ring.
Mm. He's gone.
Yeah.
Scary man's gone, Parker. Don't
thank
worry.
Goodness. Yes.
Elon has saved it. I never had a Twitter X account.
I still cannot get over. I saw like the video and more of like full context of him doing the thing.
Yeah.
What was he thinking?
Who?
Elon's little salute or his little yeah, bro, my heart so goes out to idiotic. You or whatever that he was doing.
And then someone else did it like a couple weeks later. Yeah.
And I saw a video, it was like of Charlie Kirk, someone asking yes. him. It was like,
the guy
was,
Parker.
Was he doing that? Was he doing the salute? He was like, no, he was not doing a Nazi salute. It's like, well, you're not Elon. You don't know exactly what he was doing. You can say, I don't
it's
think
like, okay,
was.
Then why did you ask me?
What?
Oh, that's what
no,
you're
that's
saying.
No, that's what I'm saying. Because Charlie was like, no,
oh,
he was not doing that.
I think he, I don't think he straight up denied it because I saw the interview with Charlie or the question. And he was like, no, I don't think that's what he was doing.
No, he said, no, that's not what he was doing. How does he know?
He knows.
Is he in Elon's brain?
He knows.
Yeah, I'm not so sure what the deal was. So much has been happening. It's just...
It's too much. Just everybody sickening. Take a break for a second. I'm getting overwhelmed.
Let's take a mental sweating. Health break, everybody, right now.
Okay. Christian,
okay,
are you taking a break?
Collect ourselves.
Christian didn't take a break. We have to restart.
What?
Mental health break.
We're taking a mental health break.
I didn't even think about doing that one. Sorry.
Everybody breathe. Deep breath in. Out. Okay. Wow. I'm
you
tired.
I have no idea how bad I wanted to scream right there.
If you did, it wouldn't have been good.
Would have waken up the whole neighborhood. Everybody driving.
Yeah, my wife downstairs would have woken up.
I had to think about the kids. I want to do that. To
yeah. Them. What's the wedgie comments thing? Did people?
Oh yeah, that came back again. The same person that commented about the wedgies was very happy we talked about wedgies on the last episode, but then said on this next episode you should do rock paper scissors and the loser gets a wedgie. So I'm
no
just gonna
way.
Yeah. So I'm just gonna stop this. We're not gonna promote any wedgies.
No way. Oh my gosh. That's actually.
A firm statement on the podcast that there will never be.
We are anti-wedgie, you guys. Seriously,
it's not gonna happen.
You want to watch us give each other yeah, wedgies?
What? Oh my gosh!
All right, please, and then send me the video.
You guys should play rock paper scissors.
You don't have to do it on the podcast. Just send it to me. Just send me the video.
I just want to see proof that you did it.
Send
not
me
just
the,
proof. I want to see you do it.
Send me the underwear from afterwards.
Yeah, I need to see the ribs.
The torn underwear.
And the blood.
So yeah. Blood. Yo,
that's insane.
Wedgie off, skin, off the roof skin. Of the barn.
Nah,
grab it.
That's crazy. Oh my gosh. I cannot believe it was a multiple week in a row yeah. comment.
That's
the
so
first
funny.
Time you read that, I was like, that's kind of freaky, but I'll let it slide. Maybe it was just something hilarious.
Yeah.
Two times is.
It's like, I want a video
yeah,
of it.
It's Christian's general rule on freakiness.
Yeah.
Let's slide once and then.
Yeah, you then ask you again, reconsider. It's like, okay. Maybe this person is not joking.
Just a freak.
Yeah.
But maybe he's not a freak. Maybe he's just a silly guy.
Yeah.
I think it might have been a girl. It
oh.
was like a girl's
oh.
name.
Silly girl.
This is a silly girl.
That's silly, all right. Just a silly Billy. Or Bobby. It can be a girl.
Yep.
Girl's name. Christian, you went golfing this week.
Christian and I went golfing today.
Why?
Because it was fun and we wanted to do it.
It was fun and it was golfing.
You were busy, right?
Please yeah, tell I was me working.
I asked you if you want to go golfing. You said no, you're fixing your vehicle.
And then he spit on you via the internet.
Yeah, you guys didn't go to come to men's group.
No, it was actually really awesome.
Huh? You didn't come to men's group. I went. I was there.
Nice.
For the last little bit.
Cool.
Ooh.
And I didn't get dinner.
Okay.
So thanks for grabbing me dinner.
So I could have also not had dinner and only went to like 20 minutes of men's group. 10 minutes even.
That sounds
like more fun than golfing. I wish we hadn't gotten golfing.
golfing was a couple hours.
Yeah, it was great. I loved it.
A couple of great hours.
I went on the very first hole, par. Oh, I'm feeling good.
Yeah,
it was next hole.
Good. Double bogey.
Stroke limit on a par 5.
Double bogey.
More than double, my friend.
Triple bogey.
Quintuple.
Yeah, stroke limit would be double par what we were playing. So
oh my gosh. 10.
3, 10. 3 on the next one.
Yeah.
Par?
Yep.
And then kind of blew up a little bit on the next one. Then par. I was going par, blow up. Not as bad as that second hole blow up.
Par, blow.
But
par,
it was like par, double bogey. Par, triple bogey. Par, bogey.
Ooh.
Par. Six. Double bogey, bogey, bogey. And I'm done.
Yeah.
Wow. It sounds like you're really good. It's a good thing you've been iced. The last couple of months.
No, that was, I was thawing out and it was good.
You're thawing out?
It was good for coming back.
We were striking the ball well on a couple of those.
Oh, yeah.
We had some great drives. Both of us were driving the ball pretty well.
Yeah. What'd you do? What'd you shoot?
Not very good. Oh. I shot a lot better.
I think you beat me by 2.
I played a lot better yesterday.
I thought he was way ahead of me.
You blew up some holes too?
Yeah.
Dang.
Big time. Big time.
That's all right though. There was one I was kind of off out of bounds.
I think I was more consistent than Parker in that I didn't really have, I don't even think I had a par once. I think I mostly had bogeys.
Oh, that's good.
And then like a double or two, which is not good. I played so well. I was on track for like an 84 yesterday, and today I was on track for like a 95 probably or worse.
Oh, no, you got bit again by
the bug.
The golf bug.
Yeah.
Golfing 2 days in a row.
I know, bro. I played yesterday and it was like the best game I've ever played. I was like, oh, I'm back.
I was saying, you
not
probably.
Even back. I was like, this is what I need. I needed a break, and then all my mechanics are now perfect.
Played the one game. I was like, I was so good. If I just tweak these small little things, I'll be so much better.
Oh, yeah.
And then
gosh.
You tweaked him, and he sucked.
And then you're tweaking.
The old tweaking suck.
You should just kind of go go and play and just like see what happens.
Yeah, you can't have an agenda or like a lesson you're trying to learn while you're on the golf course.
Yeah.
You just have to say, however I'm playing right now, it's however I'm playing. If I want to fix something, go to the range and fix it. But. Just swing. It. Don't think. It's just swing and try to play the best you can.
Oh, it's so mental out there.
Parker, I bet you wish you felt the way I felt right now.
Why?
Like I'm going to throw up.
Really?
Oh.
No, you're fine. Gavin, you got to lock in.
Gavin, lock in. Mental
lock in chat.
Matter. Do not let
lock
your mind
in chat.
Take
lock
this,
in. This card is worth thousands of dollars. You should be spending thousands
of
dollars.
Another Red Bull. Get him another Red Bull.
Give me another one. Oh, I can't do it.
Gotta say the blueberry one's all right.
All right. It's fantastic.
I never had it because they don't have a sugar-free version of it.
I went for the watermelon the other day. Just, I mean, I had to give it a try again. Still bad. Not as bad as I remember, but
don't like it. You had the purple one the other day?
Bro, the new purple one? Purple with the light blue writing?
Elderflower and blossom?
No. Yeah.
Grapefruit and blossom.
Grapefruit and blossom. Dude, it is really, really good. I really enjoyed it.
I had the sugar-free one.
The sugar-free one is the one that I had. I haven't had the regular.
I had the sugar-free and it tasted kind of weird to me.
All right, bro. Whatever. Never mind. If it freaking sucks. Nobody,
not a sugar-free
guy.
But you liked it. Nasty Nate liked it. Devin didn't like it very much. But Devin really liked the pink one.
So
and
does
Bryson.
Bryson.
Really liked the pink
I hate
one.
Bryson
the pink
one.
Loves
the pink
one.
Pink one is my least favorite one I've ever had.
The pink one, sugar-free. Bryson had a couple at the job.
A couple?
Yeah.
Zang.
Yeah,
bro. I wish they were bigger. Like, I could drink.
What? They're 12 ounces. You want 16?
Well, I wish I could have more without the consequences.
There's bigger ones.
That's life.
Than a 16
there's a 16. There's a 20 ounce. That's too much for you.
In the flavors?
Just go ahead
and special flavors?
No. Just in classics.
Yeah, dude. Watermelon's bad. It's like.
Ah, really? I want the smaller cans, but I'm using 12 ounce cans because I've got to build my tower.
I know. I got a few
of
these.
Yeah, I find that little can is the perfect amount for me.
But I'm okay. I'm going to save them. No point. There's little and stupid.
Listen to this. All right. So I'll crack open a Red Bull beginning of the workday. It'll stay carbonated for 4 hours after it's been open. But if I'm driving or something, not if I'm driving, I feel like if I drink it any time that I'm not working, like if I'm with Hannah and I have one at the church or whatever, we're doing something extra, the carbonation goes away within an hour.
We know what they say. Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah, but I work for 4 hours and it's still carbonated.
Not having enough fun.
Literally, that's actually true.
It was actually the same amount of time both times.
What?
Yep.
Wow.
My eyes have been opened. That's all in your head.
Dang.
Truly.
Oh. Also, this is a warning to all the people that play PUBG casual mode.
You guys, seriously, listen
if
up.
If you're a sweater,
if you're playing so hard and so much that you're literally sweating in your chair,
then quit playing casual. There's like level 400 people playing casual that we're going up against in the final circle, and we're smoking them sometimes.
You are not casual.
Yeah.
But quit playing casuals when there's like a ton of bots. We're trying to teach Nasty Nate how to play PUBG, and we're getting smoked by you fools. Well, he's getting smoked by you fools. Pretty quick and can't find cover fast enough, and you've just
he also
shot
makes
him.
No attempt to find cover. He'll just stand out in the open.
That's yeah. true.
Just stand still.
Well, he around. Just runs in there. You want me to draw him out?
Yeah.
You know what?
That's his it. Favorite thing. Just run in there. Here, I'll draw him out.
It's
they're like in a house. He's
like,
runs
like
into
don't
into
do
the
it.
House.
Oh no, I died.
It's like don't do it. We know where they are. Runs
yeah,
right in there.
For us.
He's gotten so, a couple kills though. He's gotten
that's
better.
Actually true. He's gotten really good.
Yeah, if he could just figure out how to cook a frag as he runs into a house.
Oh yeah, dude, it'd be
that would be the
today I watched a little mini documentary about
cooking frags.
What's that? What was the island near Japan that the U.S. invaded?
Epstein Island.
No, near Japan
Okinawa.
In World War Okinawa.
Is
yeah.
that right?
Yeah, they were.
Yes,
I'm so smart.
Did it. I watched a World War II document.
Everybody comment, Parker, you're so smart.
Parker, there was smart. Like, so okay. It was just a battle in World War II. Basically, like the Japanese basically thought of it as like if they take this island, then they're gonna take
then
Japan.
It's done.
And the U.S. thought the same thing. And so it was like the battle for Japan. And then the U.S. was way outgunned, way outnumbered them, way out everything of them. Ended
yeah,
up
that
winning.
Was so deadly.
What?
The casualties from that one battle?
Yeah, that was the most U.S. soldiers that died in any battle. It was like 30K. Or no, 30K civilians, like 7,000 U.S.
49,000.
What? Oh, no, it was...
Casualties.
Okay, yeah. 30,000... I think Americans, 30,000 U.S. soldiers died, but majority of the casualties, I believe, were Okinawa citizens because they basically had citizens like
in there for
with guns, like defending.
Oh,
dang.
Holy
the island.
Yeah, but they had that's when like they had thousands of kamikazes because the U.S. had like 300 ships around the island. And the Japanese were
like flying right into the boats.
Well, Okinawa is the name of that whole island, but there's also a town
on
Okinawa.
Oh, the smaller chain. Yeah, that's the main. That's the main Japan.
Yeah.
Man, they're so close to South Korea.
And there was literally thousands of dive bombers, like kamikaze. They would, wouldn't they drink like some potion or something that made them high or something?
Meth.
They would drink meth and then they would just smash into the ships. And there was a lot that sank and a lot that were damaged.
Yeah.
But obviously the U.S. won.
Man,
they had hundreds
so
of
much.
Thousands of more soldiers and more tanks and more artillery. And
look
more
at all
planes.
Those road systems.
I know. I would love to go to China sometime just to see how much it is. How
yeah,
much
their
China
infrastructure
in
sounds crazy. And there's got some beautiful
is
nature.
Is it good?
Probably well, their cities. Some of their cities, bro, are like futuristic. It looks like it's 100 years in the future. Looks
yeah.
like it's in Rocket League or something.
But then dang. You look, you really look, take a look in, just poverty everywhere.
I don't feel like, I feel like.
Just outside.
In poverty.
Oh, you look everywhere. Outside.
Yeah, look
right
look outside the doors.
Seen well, that there's some like trains that run through apartment buildings.
Yeah.
And that would be annoying. Holy crap.
Yeah, but it'd be nice if you're commuting.
But every 3 minutes, a train coming through your apartment.
They're not loud. If they were loud, they wouldn't build
it. It's like
in
a bullet
apartment.
Train. So if it goes through so fast.
Yeah,
you
I'm sure China's really good at making stuff.
Yeah, likely story, China. Mm-hmm. But yeah, crazy.
I got
World
a
War
bone
II
to
was
pick
crazy.
With the Vietnamese.
Turns out Hitler wasn't a very effective military strategist.
Really?
In some sense, he was. Those. He was probably above average, I guess, but not like a legend. he was a legend amongst Germans because he was like
leading people and motivating.
Yeah, he was a good leader and like was able to like
good public speaker
was able to get people to obviously come on. Thanks.
He won't say
that's
it.
That's
you know
it.
This guy hates Hitler. That's one of the things I like about Parker. He's like, you know what, Hitler, I'm not on board.
He stands up for his beliefs.
Christian still hasn't.
No, but like he's a great. It was really easy for people to get behind his like message,
ideals.
Oh, which is insane to convince people of that ethnic cleansing and for everyone to be like, you know what, I think this guy is right.
Yeah,
we're the good guys. Is crazy. So he must have been somewhat charismatic, but he was just super stubborn. And super aggressive and really arrogant and like ended up making like multiple like huge blunders because he wouldn't retreat, wouldn't listen to his generals.
Lost his rook and his queen.
No, not his queen.
Cooking them. Like he wouldn't send on D-Day. He wouldn't send tanks to the front because he thought that his Atlantic Wall, which his general Rommel something put up, he was in charge of. He thought it was indestructible and he thought if anyone attacked it, it might end the war because they wouldn't be able to survive it and all their people would die. And so Germany would win if their Atlantic Wall was attacked. So then when you receive news that the US and the British and the French were attacking the wall, he like celebrated and he didn't send tanks. He wouldn't listen to anyone requesting support. He's like, this is exactly what we want. Like the war is over as soon as they attack this wall because they have no idea how powerful it is. And then it ended up being not like it was resistance on some of the beaches and everything, obviously, but like overwhelmingly the momentum was for the Allies pretty much the whole time. And they just destroyed it.
Dang.
In crazy. And like he should have never declared war on the US once Japan bombed Pearl Harbor and he invaded Russia, like the Soviet Union at the same time, way overextended and ended up. Like the Russians, once the U.S. and Russia joined the war, it was donezo, bro.
Yeah.
It was donezo.
They take Poland?
I don't know.
Germany?
I think
when they took France in like 1940 and 1941, it was like Germany's going to win the war. They took France easily, like so fast. Like people thought that was just what it was going to be. And then they, at the same time, started attacking the Soviet Union. And then the U.S. joined, and then like a few years later is when it ended.
Uh-huh. We got to keep our eye on those guys.
I'm crashing.
Germany? Yeah. The Soviet Union?
Germany.
How are you crashing? You just drank a Red Bull.
I don't know.
Gavin, chill out. You're fine. Actually, don't chill out. Hype up. Lock in, Gavin.
Remember when this used to happen like once every two episodes? Gavin would be asleep.
Gavin was working a lot back then.
What's your excuse now?
I don't know. I'm getting old.
I don't know. Yeah. Gavin, you're 14.
I'm almost 25.
Oh, dude, that's crazy. Quarter century.
25 is right around the corner.
I love I loved history class in high school.
It was always the best one.
My favorite class.
It was for real.
That was the main one where it was like, yeah, I can afford to learn about it. I would like this is useful stuff to know. Like this is interesting.
Yeah. I wanted to be a history teacher. I thought about it if I was gonna go to school to be a teacher, I was gonna
if I was a teacher, I would pick history.
Yeah, history is always the coolest teacher for real.
Also with ChatGPT now.
English is always the worst. Math is kind of hit or miss.
The lessons I could whip up.
Oh my gosh. It'd be killer.
Oh my gosh. We're going to have really dumb teachers because they're just going to use ChatGPT.
We might have dumb everything.
Worry about the doctors and myself.
Oh, Parker's going to get so much dumber.
Parker's worried about him and the doctors.
What?
He's going to be like, okay, you run sound, chat. I'm going to plug you in, make everything sound
good.
Make
it sound good. Make the music.
And it does, and he doesn't know anything anymore.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's insane.
I can't believe, like, the U.S., how fast the U.S. and the Soviet Union's, like, relationship deteriorated after World War II.
Well, this is because the Soviet Union turned into Russia.
We must have always been enemies of the Soviet Union or whatever. Yeah. And then it was like, we were like, you know,
Cold War, man.
The two guys that were like killing it in World War II, and then it's just
they wanted more. They wanted to start taking more territory.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, the Soviet Union, like Ukraine, that's what the battle is now. Like,
yeah, right.
Used to be part of it.
Used to be the Soviet Union,
like expanding more into Europe.
Committed a lot of war crimes.
Did you know they tried to take Afghanistan?
Like Joseph Stalin.
Soviets moved into Afghanistan, like. Got a lot of it, but the Taliban, I think, is what held them out because the terrain there is so mountainous and rocky and like
it's like Miramar.
Oh, okay, I see. Okay, that actually makes
like
sense.
People hiding in cliffs, like just crazy terrain to fight a war like that.
Guerrilla warfare.
And so, like,
they had gorillas.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh,
gorillas out there fighting. And before the U.S. even tried to go in there later to like deal with the terrorism stuff, like the Soviets tried to conquer Afghanistan years before, and like we did not learn a lesson.
It's just
from
a
that
war
all.
Zone.
Like, jeez. That's like an impossible place to
secure. Also, once secure. You take it over, even then.
Like the home team there has such an advantage.
Even in Berlin.
Oh really?
Like after the war, when the Soviets like took over Berlin or whatever, and the U.S. and everyone took over. You know, like when that was that final battle, or whatever. Like the Soviets started committing a bunch of war crimes.
Maybe I'll ask ChatGPT about the Berlin Wall. I have no idea. I just have heard about that.
I don't know about it
either. When they
went one side
down.
Is good, one side's bad, and Mr. Reagan was like,
"We're taking it down."
Gorbachev tear down.
I don't know anything about that.
I watched that Reagan movie.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Oh yeah,
it's kind of hot in here all of a sudden.
Yeah, it is. They're making a Trump movie. That same studio, I think.
The Reagan one was really good.
Oh, cool.
Learned a lot.
Wow.
He was so good at leading people. He was in charge of the...
What if it was all a lie?
Oh my gosh.
Oh, what?
What if it was... What if everything you...
About the movie?
Yeah.
What if about everything you... What if
it was all documented?
What if everything everyone has ever told you was a lie, Gavin?
Things would fall apart so
then
quickly.
Then I'm okay believing a lie.
It would crumble.
Got a good life. Got a good life.
And I listened to Bryce Crawford's episode with Adam 22 yesterday and today.
Yeah.
It was so good. I like him a lot.
Bryce Crawford?
Bryce. He's so good at like, I don't know. I just really like his style of talking to people and how he communicates.
Mm-hmm.
Just good.
Very respectful.
And especially with the gospel and stuff. And like one of the things he said, which is something that I believe for sure is like, it's like, I don't look at your life and just like judge you for what you're doing because like you're not a Christian. Why would you like you don't believe in God? Why the heck would you think it's wrong to do all these things that you're doing when you're not a Christian? Like, I don't
understand.
Like, the people, like the type of Christians who are like the turn or burn type, where like if you're going to hell, like street preachers that are like saying people are gonna die.
I mean, it is true.
There's truth in that, but that's not going to do anything to people. That's not going to help them at all. And so I totally, like, agree with that stance of, like, so many people in the world doing stuff. Like, why wouldn't they be doing those things? Like, why, if they're not Christians?
Right. Yeah, why would they just
be wanting
to do what they
want? It makes perfect sense. Why would they have the same values I have if they don't have the same values I have? Just explained it right there.
Wait a second.
But yeah, it was good, and he does a really good job.
But then, I saw like the first 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I haven't listened
Adam,
to it yet.
And he was like trying to explain morality. Like, because Bryce was like, so your like view of morality isn't based on the Bible or whatever, like mine is. So what is your view of morality based on? Obviously, he had nothing, because he was like there is nothing else you could base morality on. So he was like, I read books and like listen to philosophers and stuff.
Just kind of like whatever you feel is right, I guess. Like, or what? I don't know. That's just how people base that stuff on, which is really
crazy.
Difficult to really difficult to believe because it's all like
there's no baseline. It's
this
like
is what society.
I kind of feel like this right now.
But it was cool. Yeah, he's definitely an atheist, but he's like. But one of the questions Bryce asked him was, like, do you wish that God was real? Like, in your opinion, like, you don't believe in God.
I saw that.
Do you wish that you did? But he was like, I don't know about like the Bible, like the God in the Bible, but yeah, it'd be cool if there was like some guy that was like
a perfect
the
judge.
Almighty like judge of everything, and he, you know, you could talk to him, like get like practical advice and stuff from him and whatever to help you with your life. Like, that would be
it
cool.
Sounds like
but
like, it sounds like you want the God of the
it's
Bible.
Like, it sounds like, yeah, that is exactly what you were describing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was just really,
I mean, it's cool. Like, even if nothing ever happens for that, for Adam, then how many people are going to hear the gospel or the it being portrayed as understanding, like, oh, it's not, I'm not just judging you and telling you, oh, well, you need to just change and believe these things that I believe. Cause like you're saying, you can't uphold somebody else to the standards and the holiness and righteousness of a Christian that you're supposed to be led to become more like Christ if they don't even believe that.
Right.
Because then it's like, well, it doesn't even like, make
that's
any sense.
That's why I get so frustrated with, and like political stuff when, I don't know, boomers are just like, the world is going to hell. And it's like, well, yeah,
they are.
That is literally what it's going to do. Like, it's inevitable that people who are not Christians are not going to have these Christian values that you have.
Mm-hmm. So, which should lead you to want to...
You freaks, quit being trans.
It should lead you to want to show them...
Don't do it that way.
Love like Christ, because then you realize their eternal... Like, their eternity is leading them to hell.
There's no other basis. Like, there's nothing else you could replace the Bible with as far as a moral compass. Like that's what... like Friedrich Nietzsche. That was the extent, basically. That was like the encapsulation of all of his writings, was that like
all morality is based off of the Bible.
Basically, there's a more efficient way to determine morality than the gospel, which is outdated, mm-hmm. or the Bible, which is outdated. He never provided kind of what it was.
He's like, it's really easy and really simple. You guys figure it out.
He said that there is something like new, or like, like his like main, like his like most famous statement is God is dead and we have killed him. That was like one thing that he was a statement that he was known for, and not in like the literal sense of God is dead, like he believed like the Jesus died
of God is
but just dead. Like society has killed God, and like now we have to find something to replace him with.
That's true.
And what are we replacing him with? Because we haven't, like, it's, you have to find the basis for morality or for society. And if not, it just devolves, mm-hmm. you know, infinitely, until there's nothing left,
mm-hmm.
to where, unless you have a basis of morality. But that was his whole thing. He was saying the Bible was the basis of morality. It's time, like,
time for
that
a new
is
one.
Like too barbaric. It's like it's ancient and doesn't apply anymore to the modern world.
Oh,
we have to find something else. I don't know what it is, but we have to find something else as a basis for morality.
To hold as that.
To hold as the standard, but he never presented anything. I don't think he ever had like a theory as to what his whole thing was. He was more just someone that was like, God is dead. Society doesn't believe in God anymore. Find something else to replace it with. And that was his message.
That's probably true. Cause if you look back 500 years, there's probably a lot more like
godlessness,
probably a lot less. I would say. Like,
yeah.
Or more like,
people are
shame,
all driven to
like
something.
More public shame of being like, I'm not a Christian, which it was interesting.
Nietzsche was he was like a pastor's kid, and he grew up in like, he went to a Catholic college.
Oh, really?
And then that's when he was in college is when he wrote his, like his sister, when he was leaving college, his sister and his whole family were still devout Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote, he was like, if you seek, it's something along the lines of if peace and happiness is what you seek, then believe. If truth is what you seek, then have skepticism or something like that. Basically, he was like, it's better for society to believe in God. It's better for you to believe in God because it makes you happy and gives you peace. But I can't have peace with it because I'm on the pursuit of truth.
Oh, right.
And when you're on the pursuit of truth, it excludes the Bible. It excludes like religion. Mm-hmm, and so this is like my curse. I have to leave Christianity because I'm cursed with knowing that there's like,
that's not true.
It doesn't work. Yeah, right. Exactly. And so then he was like trying to find something to replace it with. And that was like his whole philosophy. Yeah. It was, I don't know.
One thing that was super interesting in that interview too was, Adam mentioned that because he does like a podcast with a bunch of rappers and stuff like that, or like he has them on as guests. He said it's super kind of
I remember this part. That was really crazy.
Taboo, I guess, to say you're not a Christian. And if you're a rapper, like you got to have some, like if you outwardly like deny Christianity or a God at all,
if you're
or anything like that. Yeah, if you like say you don't pray or anything like that, it's kind of looked down upon in like hip hop.
He said specifically in the African American community.
Yeah,
that's looked down upon because he's like he was saying all the Christian people that he knows are like not. He's like they could live the same way that I do. Like they in when we have topics of conversation that I assume a Christian would push back on.
Yeah,
they never do. They act just like me. It seems like they know that this isn't true, or that something. And yeah, but that's what he was saying. Like,
he's
yeah.
like all these,
the culture is always
like songs,
especially here in Texas, the whole culture is everyone's Christian. Everyone uh-huh. says they're uh-huh. like, everyone claims to be a Christian. Uh-huh. So it's like,
well, it's like, it is in a lot of songs, like rappers will say like, oh, I pray about this.
I used to pray for times like this.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Just not even, I don't even think it's ironically like that they're saying it, but they're saying it because they think they.
But that's like the culture, I guess. And he yeah. said that he knows non-Christian rappers who just will not come out and outwardly say that, like, or yeah. deny that.
All athletes.
They're like, oh, my mom.
Yeah, a lot of like, athletes.
Oh, my family,
too.
My grandma.
And they're always like, I just thank God for these uh-huh. opportunities to just, like, live the most godless life of all time.
Yeah. Like,
God's going to get me through it. It's like they got a case for murdering somebody, and they're like, yeah. God's going to see me through this.
Yeah.
Like, I guess he will, but I wouldn't say he's
going to see you straight to jail. Yeah. He's going to see you in about an hour. You're getting the death penalty.
Oh, did you see the guy?
No.
Who, so the death penalty, death by firing squad was just reinstated.
Oh my gosh.
And for the first time in 15
firing
years.
Firing squad?
Yes.
A squad of people just shooting yes. you?
What?
So you can, listen to this. You can choose when the death penalty is voted or decided on, ruled for. You can get the electric chair or lethal injection.
Bro, electric chair would suck.
Oh my gosh, dude, lethal injection.
And if they don't choose, then they automatically will get the electric chair.
Oh, firing squad would be crazy.
And this guy's
you
like...
You don't have to choose, but if you don't, you're going to get shot by 8 people.
This guy is like 72. 72 or something, and he is on death row, and he chose firing squad. First time in 15 years that it's been chosen. So like 2010, somebody chose this.
I would... choose firing squad.
But this guy was in prison for, I don't remember, like murdering his ex-girlfriend's family or something, and even her maybe. I can't remember. Hope sent it to me yesterday. But I saw this and yeah, the guy chose death by firing squad. It said the interview on the newscast, the lady was saying that it's 3 correctional officers are chosen, like they sign up and say, yes, I will do this.
It's like a
that's
lottery.
Crazy.
All the basically. Officers put their name in a hat and then they're like, pick it out.
Mike got selected for firing squad. All
they're right. behind. They're behind
Reynolds,
another
you're
wall.
Up.
Let's go. Let's go. I prayed for this. They're like sitting like with their family in the living room. They get a phone call.
They're ready. Coach, you've been chosen.
Sergeant?
I won't let you down. Is this you? You're not going to regret this.
They let 3 members of the media.
It took you guys long enough.
And the victim's family can sit in this other room watching it happen.
No way. Oh, the victim's family. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
The suspect.
The victim of firing squad.
The criminals.
The yeah. family of the firing squad. That was such a good shot.
Oh, my gosh.
And then there's 3 officers. They sit behind this other wall with just the barrel coming through this wall. I mean, like, they can't fully right. see. This person is not like they're all standing there in a row. And then shoot him.
What does death row look like, I wonder? I wonder where that term came from. If it was like a row of people.
Probably
going
to get used
hanged.
To be. An actual row of people waiting. Yeah.
Now it's just like,
I never really thought about like cell. That. I was, if I would really be against the death penalty ever, in the sense of like, if somebody decided that, you know, oh, this person deserves the death penalty, until one of Hayden's classmates, Meredith, did her thesis on the death penalty.
Oh, really?
And biblically, why? Yeah. Would be against it. And she had some good points.
It's kind of a weird sissy idea.
One of the points that I would maybe agree with is it talks about in the Old Testament some different places of like, oh, if somebody murders, then they should also die.
Okay.
But also, like, who's to say that that person won't someday repent and ask Jesus to, you know, be their savior, even if they're in prison or maybe it's time for them to die and by the death penalty. Like, who's to say like, oh, they should die now? Because also it talks about in the Bible, Ananias and Sapphira. This is in the New Testament after Jesus died on the cross.
They lied or something.
They lied about about the amount of money they sold their house or their property for. And they're like, oh, we're tithing in the full amount. We're giving in the full amount. And Ananias went first and he lied. And after he lied, he said, okay, why'd you lie about this? Boom, he died. And then Sapphira came in later and was like, hey, this is what we heard. Is this true? This is really what you sold your house for and everything.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, why'd you lie? And then you step outside and boom, died.
Firing squad.
What was that all about?
What? That story?
No, yeah. What?
The death penalty.
Okay.
Death penalty.
And talking about how, like, well, it's not like somebody when killed them. Like, if they were supposed to die from the things they did, then God killed them. They died.
I feel like God was only defensible from...
That means that there should be no human intervention in anything ever. If it was supposed to happen, God's just going to do it magically with his God powers. I don't know if that means
no human intervention ever, like arresting people. Logic. Yeah, but killing somebody versus putting someone in jail is different.
That is different. One's killing them, one's just putting in jail.
Yeah, they continue living there.
So you think instead of like...
I'm not saying I agree with one thing.
If you want to take him now,
I'm not saying I agree with one thing or the other. I just brought it up because I said that was her discussion topic.
No, I am understanding that discussion topic, and I'm literally tearing it to shreds as we speak.
How are you tearing it to shreds? What's your biblical basis? It's like
because everything in the Bible has been God using people to achieve certain things. So not necessarily does he have to come down and supernaturally do something himself.
Yeah, but who are you to say that God told you to kill this person?
I don't know who I am to say that.
Well, but is war defensible? Like, can we go to war and fight a righteous war if God doesn't specifically, like, commission us to? Like, if
someone comes into my house and is
wreaking havoc and killing my children, that's too far. If someone is trying to rob me and kill me, then it's like, I can either, like, if God, if you want him to die, then kill him. Or God, if you want him to die, then tell me to kill him. Or you could just be like, this guy is causing a lot of harm. I need to kill him.
Yeah, but that's different than if someone, you're preventing him from killing you, you're saying?
Because it's like self-defense. Yeah.
Versus if someone had done something terrible and they're obviously not capable of doing it now, being in custody, and it's like saying,
no longer a threat.
Yeah, you no longer deserve to live. Okay, you die.
Yeah, I've thought about the death penalty a lot, honestly.
Have you really?
Yeah, I have. If I'm being honest, which I am, I've thought about it a lot.
I've thought about it.
I've kind of gone back and forth before. I've heard good arguments. I've forgotten all of them, truly, and where I stand personally. But definitely a fun conversation to be had. I'm glad we're having it.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a classic one.
It's interesting, though, because I don't know.
Is it ever defensible from a non-Christian position? I feel like every Christian... Do you think so?
Yeah, from a non-Christian.
I'm sorry. Is being against the death penalty defensible from a non-Christian position?
I don't know. By killing this person,
you're sending them to hell for eternity. And because of that, they don't get a chance to live in salvation. Even if you hate them and you think that they're terrible and they cause a lot of harm, the biblical worldview would be that they still deserve to have the chance to repent and deserve heaven or have eternity and not live separate from God.
Yeah.
But if you don't believe in the afterlife, you don't believe that heaven is a thing, you don't believe that hell is a thing, you just think that, like, as an atheist, that you
believe
that
there's nothing.
Objectively, death is the worst thing that can happen to you, and living is better than death. So you're giving something, instead of this guy just killed all these people, and instead of giving him the worst penalty we can give him, which is death, we're letting him live because that's what he wants to do. Mm-hmm. So if you didn't believe in the afterlife, I think that the death penalty would have to be
the worst thing imaginable.
And in that case,
but even though I do believe in hell, I think that
you think that person deserves hell.
I think it would be the worst punishment imaginable.
Hell would be. I just think that's why
it's hell.
I know, but is hell worth?
But do you?
Does the worst human deserve hell? Are you the one that gets to send?
Are you saying they can't be forgiven?
They can.
I'm not saying they can't be forgiven.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But who are you to kill them now?
If you're not giving them the chance to be forgiven,
I'd have a really hard time being the judge that gives someone a death penalty, because then you're robbing them of the chance of being redeemed.
That's right. My argument. That's what I'm saying.
Could I send somebody to hell? If I have to send somebody to hell, because this is the situation.
I would never do it.
I'm saying, like, if I have to send somebody to hell, and it's like they are a threat and they're killing people and they have to die. It just so happens they're not a believer. This is the sowing of what they've reaped, whatever. But if they're not a threat anymore, they've already done the, yeah, whatever. They've already done the damage that they crime, terrible person, like atrocities. They're no longer a threat. They can't do it anymore. But am I the one that gets to send them to hell for eternity?
Think of the expenses of housing them and feeding them for the rest of their life.
It's true. It's somebody else.
That was one of the arguments in her, in the thesis. It's actually more expensive for lethal injection.
Oh, really? Why?
Because the chemical, all the stuff. I don't know however much it is. Yeah, it's pretty expensive to do lethal injection.
Firing squad, and that's why it's coming back.
Yeah, the death penalty doesn't have to be expensive.
But is that cruel and unusual punishment?
No. Cruel and unusual, shooting somebody for shooting somebody else is cool and usual.
It's cool and usual punishment.
It's usually pretty cool. Shooting someone for shooting others, I mean, I don't think that that's... I think shooting someone is more humane than someone that, like, is a predator and chopped somebody up and it was, like, vile.
That's what I think is
merciful.
Like you would say, like my, I would say if someone chopped somebody up.
If we got a chopper on our hands.
Yeah. Somebody did something terrible like that.
Yeah.
If we got a slicer and a dicer.
I would think, oh, you should
slicer
die.
Slicer and dicer like, on the loose in this situation. Slicer and dicer on the loose. They've been slicing and dicing. Gavin, listen to me. And you finally catch them. You stop them. They can't slice and dice anybody anymore, but they did it to many people. What do you do?
Send them to hell or do you let God sort it out?
I don't know if you can kill them.
If this is truly somebody that is the worst of humans and will never repent. No, I'm saying if this is somebody that will never repent truly.
You don't know
and
that.
They're the worst, most disgusting. Then justice will play out in eternity as they'll live their life on earth.
Exactly.
And then they will live eternally in hell, which is the worst outcome. So no matter what, they're going to have the worst outcome possible. Allowing yourself to be the judge of he needs to have this outcome right now, opposed to letting their life play out and letting God be the judge, whether they're truly the worst of human atrocities, like the worst human, and they will never repent, or maybe they have some kind of repentance in their heart and they'll live in agony the rest of their life because of what they've done, but it's true repentance, and now the rest of their life is what is hell because they realize what they've done.
Here's the other thing.
Eventually, they'll go to heaven.
Here's the other thing.
Dude, life is hell.
All of us.
You know what? Yes, you guys.
Even if they decide at the end of their life, say that this is the worst person ever, we don't give them the death penalty.
Yeah, yeah.
They rot in prison. They're, at some point, at the very end of their life, they decide, you know what? I realize I need to ask for forgiveness and give my life to the Lord and repent. And that happens, then they die.
Does all of heaven rejoice in that instance?
Yes, exactly. Because just the fact that they've now repented. That doesn't mean, like, just even as us, we're sinners. Like, we don't deserve.
Because, yeah, everything that we have
done. We don't deserve forgiveness for the things that we've done. And even if, because I was preaching about forgiveness, like, of forgiving someone else for something or what they've done to you.
Yes.
Like, we have, the Bible says that we have to forgive our brothers or someone who's wronged you because we've been forgiven for so much. The debt, of the servant that was like $34 billion in today's money, the debt that the king forgave the servant, the parable that Jesus has forgiven us for a debt that we cannot repay. But this is someone else's debt. Like, yes, this person murdered, like on the most extreme level, someone murdered my entire family.
Yeah.
Obviously, I would want to kill them, right?
Yes.
But it's still, even in the most extreme situation on earth, it still does not measure at all to the price that Jesus paid of us spending eternity in hell. This book that I was reading, like Driven by Eternity, talks about this, the entire premise of the book.
Right.
And it goes through
the depths of hell,
this parable and this story that this guy made up about kind of just this world of, basically, these different things that people, different personalities and things that people have and different reasons of, okay, this person says, you know, oh, I go to church or I've done this.
Okay.
But they never really knew Jesus or never had a relationship. And they did all these other things, but never truly repented.
Right.
They would call themselves a Christian, but then they go before Jesus, before God, and they have to give account of their life saying, oh, but Jesus, I did this for you and I did this for you. Yeah, but I never truly knew you because you never really gave me your life.
Right.
And, you know, people have that fear of, oh, this happened to me. Whereas, like, in this extreme of this person maybe never lived their life for God, but eventually at the end of their time, before they died in prison, gave their life to the Lord. They still, you know, we still give account before the Lord of all the things we've done, everything in secret, everything that's known to man, right? But even the account of that, that we have to bring before him, far surpasses, like, that means nothing in the fact that we get to spend eternity in heaven after that versus, oh, we're going to hell we spend eternity in suffering. And not only are we, right, the we talk about the worst punishment being separated in eternity from our Creator, but also, like, it's torture the entire time. Like, it's weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's not just like people say, like, oh, hell is, you know, just darkness and whatever. But it's truly suffering. Like, you know, sometimes
we everything good in the world, everything good in the world came from God. Everything bad in the world didn't. Everything bad is in hell.
But it's like the worst of the worst. Like, we think, okay, you know, maybe I mess up. I want to live how I want to live now. Like, that's the motivation too behind, like, not the, oh, you're going to go to hell and trying to preach the gospel and push it that way, but really having the compassion for people in the understanding of, like, you have to understand the severity of this situation in the series of this decision in your life. Of that's why too, like, you know, we might just get discouraged of telling people, like, oh, hey, like, you should come to church, like, have a relationship with God and building it up that way and sharing the gospel with them. But, like, even when they say, no, I don't really want to do it, like, continuing to, like, pray for them or, like, reaching out to them and just showing the love of God to them, because eventually, hopefully, they come to the realization of their need for him and then happening that way. But it's just, like, going back to the death penalty or someone dying and being like, oh, I'm okay with it, or, you know, even though they've done this terrible thing, I think they deserve to die now. Like, I still don't know if I could ever come to the conclusion of, like, maybe in a situation like somebody attacking my family, obviously I know it's my job, like, to defend them and protect them and take care of them. I'm not saying, like, in any way, like, somebody's trying to shoot and attack Hannah.
The person's
I will shoot to kill in that moment. But
once that moment's gone,
it's diffused.
Someone's not a threat.
Yeah, they're not a threat anymore. They're in prison. Like, that's punishment for sure. And obviously, maybe it would seem better that they just die. But I think it would be, I think God can still intervene. And maybe some people would say, oh, it's evil if God were to kill them by, like, giving them some sickness. Like, not to say God can't do that or God would do that. Obviously, it's his hand and his judgment of, like, if someone's in prison.
No, I know what you're saying.
Like, like, kill them. Like, people, some people just die all of a sudden randomly. And, you know, people, like, you know,
turns out they're stabbed by a fellow inmate.
But, you know, I think that God can still intervene in those things too. Not that he would or wouldn't, you know, or why, I don't know.
Why? I don't know.
Why would he do that? I don't know.
Have you seen those videos?
Yapping right now, Gavin?
Yes, he is. That was a yap session.
No, it makes sense,
6 minutes. It does make sense. Have you seen those videos of, I saw one, this dude was on this stand, and the guy who, like, killed his family member was up there, and he tells them to their face that he forgives them?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, those are so good.
I love those videos.
But the Bible even says, like, if you repay a curse with a blessing, like, that's more of a curse. That's like hot coals on the head of whatever person. Like,
what?
Yeah, oh, the person that you bless. Coals on
you. Yeah, the person that does something bad to you, but you, like, show forgiveness or grace or whatever, that's going to eat at them more than if you were just like, I hate you, I hate your guts. Like, yeah, I understand. I killed your family member.
Right.
But if you actually forgive them, then they're going to be like,
wait a second.
My gosh. Like, how the heck were they able to forgive me for that?
And, you know, the reality is that some people will never turn.
Yeah, they might just be like, oh my gosh. Like, they might get more mad at you for saying that instead of, like, the typical response of, like, I hate you, I want to kill you.
Right.
Because, you know, there's obviously people go to hell and never turn to God. But obviously, that's not, who are we to decide, oh, no, this is that person. And they're never going to turn to God and give their life to him.
Yeah, that's true.
So they can just die.
At the end of, I think at the end of someone's life, someone like that, who's just the most atrocious. I think that if you came to true repentance, probably the person who is the most atrocious would not come to true repentance. Yeah, I know. But I'm not saying that I'm not saying that
atrocious.
Listen, what I'm saying is that I'm not saying that we should make that assumption and then kill them. What I'm saying is that the worst of probably wouldn't, but maybe they would. And if they were to truly come to repentance, then like the true process of repentance isn't just like, oh, I can actually get out of this and still go to heaven. Let's run it. What do I have to say? Okay. True repentance is like, can you imagine bearing the weight of then being repentant and understanding like
what you
the
did.
Depth, like the understanding the depth of your sinfulness, even as someone that didn't murder people is like sorrowful. Could you imagine bearing that weight as someone that literally killed people and deserves like actually deserves death? As we all do, but the weight of that, I think, would be punishment enough or maybe not punishment. I guess none of us deserve to go to heaven, but like that, if you came to true repentance, that godly encounter of like understanding how horrible of a person you are, which I guess is kind of the process of the gospel and salvation anyways.
That's what it is. Like but people in the
to
Bible.
Understand the depth of that, even as someone that is truly, truly the worst of the worst, then that would be, I think that at that point, then we're on an even playing field, maybe.
True.
At least we're all on an even playing field because, I mean, all of us have fallen short.
But there's people in the Bible that have murdered people.
A lot of people who have, like, a hard time with accepting the fact that, like, say Hitler accepted Christ in his last moments, truly, like, repented, whatever. Like, he would be in heaven. Like, that's so messed up. He deserves to be punished for all the wrong things he did. But
so do you.
I don't think you don't have the full view of, like, Christianity, you got to see that we all deserve to go to hell.
Yeah,
and
that's
like,
also, yeah,
you deserve to be punished because we have like this big, like our such worldly view of like, well, obviously this mass genocide is worse.
And he
than
did cause more suffering than
a cookie
on Earth, but
maybe Stalin is up there too. There's a lot of bad guys out there, but
there's a reality too to someone that like the Bible talks about those who are so. Have a hard-hearted that they're beyond the point of return. Like
but
that's crazy.
There's some people that are unsavable, basically.
I don't know if they're unsavable, but that is kind of what it says.
Yes,
probably more complex.
Like
than
there's
that.
Some people that it's not even worth praying for.
But that and when it
technically,
talks,
but we would never be able to know who it is.
When it talks about that, though, it's mature believers in Christ.
A Calvinist
so people
would
who have,
probably say that no one's worth praying for because the outcome is predetermined.
Yeah,
anyways.
They're like, oh, you've already been predetermined and selected. Like, why evangelize? Why do any of that? Why do any outreach if somebody's already pre-selected, predetermined? Like, and they would say,
should I go out and evangelize today or should I not? Mm-hmm. If I choose not to. And it's because it was already in
predetermined
destined that I wasn't going to, and the people that I would save by going are not going to be saved anyway. So the me going out actually doesn't change anything. Either I go out and the people that are already going to be saved are going to be saved, or I don't go out and the people that are already going to be saved are going to be saved. It's not up to me. So I'll just hang out and let see what happens.
I think there are some though that I don't know. I was talking to one guy and it was just like they still think that there's a point in evangelizing. It's like,
If you follow the train of logic to the end, then there's not. If you believe that God has pre-knowledge, like he knows what's going to happen, but the happening is up to us.
I believe in predestination up to the point of like God actually, he knows who's saved and who's not and that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he exists outside of time. He's so much bigger than our concept of time and our concept of space.
We cannot understand.
We cannot fathom his understanding and his wisdom. Like we can't. Our mind can't comprehend how this works. Our job is just to like exist in the time that we are now and make decisions that align with his will and try to do what he's wanting us to do.
That would be like saying in some sense, people would argue probably against this, but like, oh, I can live however I want now because I think maybe, you know, if it's predestined that I'm gonna be saved and I'm gonna go to heaven.
I'm predestined to be saved. So
then I can live however I want, and eventually I'll have a moment where I come back to the Lord.
I think a Calvinist would say that they have like dominion over their own actions, and if they choose if they choose to live a righteous life, then they are in consequence one that has already been predestination, like the one that has been predetermined to, like,
doesn't everybody be have saved action already? Or decision, or everybody has the ability to choose.
Yeah, I think that you can, I think, like, in Calvinism,
it's an illusion of free will.
You can kind of choose if you are the one to be saved or not, but you can't save others. You can't be the difference in somebody's walk of salvation. But I think that Calvinists believe that their actions, because they, yeah, I guess what Parker's saying, it's like the illusion of, they believe in the illusion of free will, that, like, I promise I'm a decision maker in my life, but in reality, they also believe that they're not actually a decision maker, but it actually doesn't affect the fact that they do have to still make decisions throughout their life.
But then if there's someone that, you know, as a believer, goes to church, gives their life to the Lord, but then falls away, then there's like two different arguments of saying, well,
they were never a true
Christian. They were never actually really a Christian, and they never actually saved.
That's so lazy to me. Like that line of thinking is.
But
so
it literally talks about in First Peter,
people fall away.
You were added to the tree, and then you fell away. And it talks about mature believers.
It's impossible to come back from that.
That's where, like, some people, like, in the inability to return back to Christ, it's like talks about him going to the cross.
Actually, had a real relationship.
With God. Like a mature believer. So, like, there's this lady who was a pastor, served, and was married, and her husband was the senior pastor and leading.
Right.
And she decided, like, she wanted this. This is like in the book, the guy references, not the exact name to call him out, but
like someone that was like on fire.
Yes. On fire for the Lord, like serving in all this incredible capacity, like truly had a relationship with the Lord and was walking it out. Wanted, you know, more from it. Like wanted the fame of like doing other things and wanted that attention. Turned away from the Lord, like left her husband, left all these things, stopped serving the Lord, and like went away. So like,
what the heck?
For praying for her, it is saying like that's where it would say it's not worth like going to them and praying for them because she's experienced God. And turned to it and turned away from him.
Yeah, decided that she didn't want that.
It would have to be in her, like. The hard thing is like, okay, then could she turn away?
Was she actually really?
Yes.
You know,
of course she was.
No, she was. But saying like,
that would be,
but it's her turning back now,
right?
Is her decision.
Yeah.
And so it's not then worth praying because she's already made that decision. She's turned away from the Lord.
So you're saying that if she would have died, so this lady who was a believer, whatever, on fire for the Lord, ended up falling away and pursuing other things. If your argument is that she was never really saved, then what if she died while she was on fire for the Lord? Like on fire, she was serving in a huge capacity, leading people to the Lord. She had a robust prayer life. Absolutely. And was always robust.
And was
always on in her Bible. And then she dies
and goes,
and you're
hell.
Saying that she's not going to go to heaven.
Wasn't real.
Like how would you judge it? We would have no idea how to
determine
whether we were going to be saved or not. Someone that's on fire for the Lord and dies.
But I think there are some people who would argue if she was like that, and even if she fell away, she's still saved because she was once saved.
Because she was like that at one point.
Yeah.
But then that's the once saved, always saved argument. But really, the book I'm reading actually really aligns a lot with our belief in the doctrine of that you can fall away from the Lord and come back.
Yeah, I believe that.
And, so, it talks about it in First Peter.
I feel
like
I know people like that.
It talks about being grafted back into...
Well, like the prodigal son.
Right.
Yeah.
Exhibit A, if you will.
Do you believe like babies who die...
Heaven.
Go to heaven?
Yeah.
I saw this one argument that it was... Once you get to what?
Once you get to a certain point where you're actually able to comprehend it, then that's kind of up to you, but...
I saw this like philosophical question. This guy who was an atheist, he was like, seems as though the popular Christian worldview is that babies or ones who can't think for themselves are automatically go to heaven if they die. And so would you not be morally obligated to kill as many babies as possible to send as many people to heaven? If heaven is the ultimate ending and that's the greatest ending you can have to your life. That's the ultimate goal. What are you not morally obligated to kill someone as a baby?
Then you would kill all Christians all the time. because I'm just sending you to heaven, my friend.
Well, yeah, but what's wrong with that?
Because there's value in our life. God put us here for a reason.
Like, just like he created the world and created Adam and Eve to for his creation to take care of what he created, because he created it with a purpose of like, oh, I want you to be able to have this life and have this decision as well to serve him. That's right. The same reason now, like Jesus died on the cross so we can choose to have relationship with him, because there's all these people, you know, that are dying, that are going to hell, but he didn't. That's the thing with free will, is saying, okay, I want you to choose, though. I've given you this opportunity,
right,
where you can have in this amazing sense, thing in eternity, but you have to choose it.
Right. I understand.
Yeah, you also get to the point of where, like, why did God even make humans? Like, what was the point of that? Like, why is that? Why do we have value to him? Why did he decide to do that?
I don't know, actually.
Why did he create anything then?
I don't know.
That's what. Know. But then really. It's like, it's too much. It's like there's so many things out. That's the other thing too, where people sometimes you want to be able to explain everything, but you can't. It's why it's faith.
People can have a hard time with faith, where they want to understand it, like exhaustively, be able to learn everything, know everything, be able to answer everything perfectly, but you just can't. Like, we're not. Yeah. I don't believe like that we're built to be able to comprehend all of that. It would be a lot to bear. If we could actually comprehend everything God can comprehend, we would be like God, and it would literally destroy us.
That's why God took away the tree after Adam and Eve ate from the tree of life.
Knowledge of good and evil.
Knowledge of good and evil. Because then there was a tree of life that would allow them, or another tree in the garden that would allow them to live forever. Yeah. And then there was another tree that basically they would become, yeah, if they did, then they would eat this other tree that they would become like God.
What?
Right.
I don't remember that part.
Sounds familiar.
There was a tree they could have eaten from that would have granted them eternal life.
They would eat from the tree that would they would
have. That's what Satan told Eve, was that you'll become like God if you eat this, you'll have eternal life.
Right, but then yes. But then there was the other tree that's why they were removed from the Garden of Eden, because if they ate the other tree, then they would live forever.
I don't feel like that's true.
There was a tree of life in there?
I feel like the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil are like synonymous. Like, it's just different names for the same thing. In the Bible, in the later in Revelation, representing a wolf.
Okay, alongside the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
What?
The tree of life is in the middle of the garden, suggesting its essential importance. After Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they were banished from the garden. And cherubim and flaming sword replace. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They guard the way to the tree of life.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy. How did I not know that?
It's very.
You guys are really. Small. I was like.
Wait a second. Was I reading the Book of Mormon? I didn't even realize that.
I've read that a lot.
I read some of the Book of Mormon today for real.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a lot of insanity.
It was really confusing you then, because you forgot about the tree of life.
Yeah, I guess.
Because, yeah, that's why they were removed from the garden. Right?
It was like the Book of Abraham and then the Book of.
Nephi?
They had the Book of Moses.
Yeah.
Really interesting.
Even though Moses wrote the first five books.
I think the whole
books.
Lore with that is that it was ancient tablets written by the Nephites, and Joseph Smith discovered them. Nobody ever
saw them. No, he didn't discover them. He was
they were revealed to him.
They were in a catacomb in Egypt, and the angels grabbed them from Egypt and showed them to Joseph Smith in like Utah or whatever. And so, like, originally they were in Egypt buried somewhere, and we lost access to them. And it was like, this was where was the missing piece. Why didn't you even... You covered all the other parts of the Bible, but here's the rest.
Oh, dang.
Joseph, you're 14, by the way.
You're not 14, but your wife is.
Yeah, well, he was 14 when he saw the angel.
Oh, my goodness. He's so smart.
And he's a genius.
So
smart. Chosen. Yeah. I have another question, but that would go on for a long time. Goodness.
Dang it, what is it?
I'll share it with you next time.
I love this crap.
I love this crap.
It's so good.
Dang it. I'll save it. We'll save it. I have some more questions that I didn't even touch.
Me too.
All right. Thanks, guys, for sticking around. That
And by the way, the thing that I said about killing all the babies, that wasn't actually me saying that I believe we should kill all the babies. That was just like me following the chain of logic.
Of this, guys.
Yeah, and like like, wouldn't this, if you apply this logic to this principle, would it still make sense?
Yeah.
So even, guys, I'm not a fan of Hitler and I don't like killing babies.
I've seen people talking about like abortion that way. We're like, well, if they're just going to go to heaven, really? I don't want it. Let's just.
That's crazy. Cause then you are admitting that you're killing them.
Yes.
And that it's okay because they're going to go to heaven.
Yeah. I did see this other question of somebody who said,
gosh, that's so crazy.
Would you bring back,
people do what?
That they draw the line at like once you're, where do people,
once you're
how
sentient,
else do you draw the line besides as soon as they're consumed?
Right. 2-year-old's not sentient.
Like, oh,
there's a lot of, it's all relative. There's a lot of different lines.
You're an adult. You can't kill an adult person.
That's what's the problem of abortion is nice because it's not only defensible from a religious standpoint.
Even
like the death penalty, I feel like is harder to defend. Like, being for the death penalty is, but with abortion, it's like, this is what it says in the Bible. And not only does it say in the Bible, but this is actually, in order to be consistent with your like definitions, then if you say when they're, you kill, like if they're not sentient, you can kill them. It's like, well, then you kill a 2-year-old. If they're reliant on somebody else, you can kill them. Well, then you can kill an elderly person that's
or
on
vegetable
life
or whatever.
Yeah. Right. Or like, what are the other ones? There's other ones. Like, and if you follow the train of logic, it automatically applies to someone that you definitely cannot kill.
Mm-hmm.
And so the only point where it actually makes sense and that you can apply it across all of life and it doesn't contradict is at conception. And also that is what is like in the Bible.
That's a new creation, the moment.
Right.
And Inception. Inception.
And like, if you kill a pregnant lady, it's double homicide.
Mm-hmm. Take that, liberals.
Take that, liberals.
Boom.
I heard the saddest story ever, but I'll tell you guys after the podcast.
Yeah, don't put it on you.
I'm too sad already. What a bad way to end. I shouldn't have talked about all this right before.
Yeah, he can. It's fine.
He probably
it's real life.
Back, whatever.
Long.
You guys, thanks for sticking around.
Yeah.
Long form, unedited.
Yeah. Content.
Boom, boom, boom. Ask any questions in the comments.
Was that one time when Gavin spoke for 6 minutes uninterrupted?
Everybody else loved it too because they didn't have to hear your dumb voice.
Dang it.
That's not true. We sound very similar.
Is it true?
All right. See you guys. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Peace out.
No wedgies. Peace.